It is another year, and another round of soaps, sitcoms, and series are going to hit our TV screens, and the TV execs actually are going to be working overtime this year to get our eyes on their channel, given the fierce ratings battle that we had last year and certainly will continue on this year. But beyond the slick promos and all the hype and all the billboards, which shows are actually going to be worth spending a half hour of our lives on and which not? Well, that's why we get this guy in every fortnight, Mark Hadley from Anglican Media. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
When it comes to TV, how far in advance are TV programs actually booked and scheduled?
Often it can be 18 months. It can be 2 years. Insofar as bought is really the operative word, you have like the great television trade shows like MIP in France and places like that, where in which, you know, executives can be getting a look at programs that are yet to be in production and are putting their money down on the table for international rights and things like that. And so often it's like, it's very much like reading tea leaves or here's a better example, going to your newspaper and trying to work out what film you're going to watch because you're free, but not really knowing what any of the titles mean. Caps off to the television buyers who make their big calls, because sometimes their calls, you know, just don't really pan out until 18 months later, and they've got to make a basis.
What is the most important season of a TV year?
Look, I personally believe it is in fact the first quarter. Television stations become, you know, self-fulfilling prophecies. So if you get a bit of momentum up, if Seven's doing very well in the first quarter, it tends to attract advertisers, and then that becomes a sustaining cycle. And so they have more money to spend. They can look into the back quarter of the year. They might have some, you know, new release movies that they'll be able to buy and then build their schedule again. And so you'll see on Seven, for example, you know, returning favourites like Lost, you know, are being brought up very early in the schedule. Desperate Housewives, of course, all of them starting very early in the year to try and get that sort of return audience back and keep the momentum up before they bring in some of the newer programs.
Yeah, okay. We need to talk to you about what do we watch and what do we just not waste our life on. So I want you to give me the top three on both of those sides, the top three to watch and the top three to give them a nice clear berth. So let's start with the latter three first.
Okay, well, as I said, I'm reading my tea leaves here. Because some of these things haven't actually been released, and so we're looking them in pre-production almost. But look, on the lows, it's a little easier, because often, you know, we are receiving something secondhand from another market, a British market or an American market, and so you can actually get the vibe of something or see some preview episodes or something before it comes out. So, you know, there would be few lower programs this year than Channel 9's Secret Diary of a Call Girl, which will be coming out later in the year.
Sounds like what it probably is.
And it very much is. It's basically an account of the life of a real-life prostitute, or assumed real-life prostitute, Belle du Jour, and her blogs on the internet, which got turned into a television production by ITV in the UK, and basically has really just ushered in a whole new range of sort of reasons for showing sex or you know, talking dirty on a television program. And the real reason to avoid it, I actually think, is one of those classic cases of lowering our resistance to what is actually a very sad state of affairs, you know, for people. I don't want to do anything about bashing people who are, so to speak, you know, involved in prostitution. I don't want to run them down. I think they're in a terrible existence. And, you know, I'd like to see people help them out of it. But programs like Secret Diary of a Call Girl,
almost glorifies it.
They glamorize it. There's no association of drugs or crime or anything like that. She might as well be running, you know, the local supermarket. You know, people try
talk
that
to
out.
Anybody who actually has been in the know with that, and they'll say, "Huh." As if Channel 10 actually is probably going to bring out a few other programs of that nature this year,
well,
I'd imagine.
You couldn't actually expect Channel 10 to sit still if, you know, Nine was coming out with Secret Diary of a Call Girl. So they've actually brought out a program, another one, another downer, probably worth avoiding, Swingtown, a reimagining of the late 60s and early 70s, kind of like the 70s show, but just sex. You know, so it's the idea of going back to, as they pitch it, you know, the peeking into the shag-carpeted suburban homes in the 1970s to find people reveling in sexual and social freedom. But I suspect there's going to be more of an emphasis on the sexual freedom than anything else.
I would imagine.
And again, you've got that psychology sort of coming in, the reimagining of the past, which basically says, oh, listen, this is where we all woke up and became free and understood. But the truth is that, you know, now sociologists are looking back at the era of the late 60s and 70s and going, hey, some of the choices we made are not panning out. You know, this idea of not being bound by family values or being bound by structures that, you know, were imposed upon us apparently by the Victorian era, are actually relating today to the destruction of the family, to, you know, loss of role models and things like that that really play out in kids' lives.
Okay, your third program that we are not to waste our time on.
You can watch them. I just pity you. I mean, pity me. I'm going to be watching them to review them for other people.
Well, see, that's why I'm glad we've got you. To be honest, I really do mean that. I do not want to waste my life.
No, don't waste your time on TV particularly. I mean, there are some great things to watch. And, yeah, if I can help anybody steer towards something a little more valuable for time, I'm happy to do so. But look, here's one to avoid. The ABC has followed up on its series Brat Camp, which is bought again from the UK. And they have come out with the next envisagement of that, and that's Family Brat Camp. So no longer are we now taking the dysfunctional teenagers and sending them into an unusual circumstance somewhere in the Sierra Nevada or, you know, the desert, you know, and expecting that this somehow, lessons learnt in this place, you know, will somehow translate, you know, back to London where they develop their drug problems or something like that. And now we're going to take the whole dysfunctional family and stick them in an unusual circumstance where there's a lot of pressure on them and they'll be forced to cooperate. That's the idea. But really, I don't know if lessons we learn under situations of pressure like that really do translate terribly well when the pressure's off. The lessons that families need to learn, that parents need to learn, that kids have to sort of absorb, are really that things that are laid down day after day in normal circumstances by parents who are providing role models and things like that. I mean, it wouldn't make great television, but it certainly would make great sense.
Yes. And there's the quotable quote. Okay, well, give us a couple of programs that you think from this distance should be worth the time.
Okay, here's one I'm really looking forward to. The Seven Network, I think they're on a bit of a roll. Look, they've had some great programming, and they've got a good program in the pipeline called Packed to the Rafters. Packed to the Rafters is basically a show starring Eric Thompson and Rebecca Gibney about a couple.
She's still around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what she's playing. She's playing someone who's reaching the end of her retirement, you know, with her husband, and they've got grown-up kids. And the kids have moved out and they have their own lives and they're looking at the empty nester syndrome. Here they are. And it's basically a drama based around them being empty nesters with this caveat that as things get more stressful in the lives of the kids, each of the three adult kids for various reasons moves home because that's secure.
Oh, okay.
You know, and there's that idea now. How do you balance up the idea of we've worked all our lives versus these are our kids? So,
yeah.
You know, and I actually think it's a tension that we really do confront, you know, around us in society today, because on the one hand, you've got a whole lot of baby boomer led philosophy, which is, you know, I've done my time with the kids. Otherwise, I'm in my sports car and your mother and I are going off to the Caribbean.
Yes, spend your inheritance.
Yeah, to spend your inheritance. So there you go. But to me, that's a program worth looking to see what they do with that. Do they try and justify? Do they try and make us think about that? That'd be really good to see. Mm. You know, another one I'm really looking forward to. I'm really going to betray myself here. The ABC has a series coming on called Jane Austen Foreplay. Now, please don't let the title throw you out. I must confess, actually, when I looked at the information that actually came along with this program, it actually said bodice ripping frenzy of costume drama delight.
And and Mark Hadley folks, we should be watching this.
Watch this, yeah. Now, actually, I think that was just a marketing person going a bit mad. The truth is that they're going to bring out four more Jane Austen novels produced for the small screen. And often you see some really good production values, some great acting. And one of the ones I'm particularly interested in is they're going to produce Mansfield Park. Now, for Austen fans, you know, they'll be going, but for those of you who are, you know, up to date on that sort of storyline, it's a classic story about what is actually attractive. You know, is money attractive? Is beauty attractive? Are skills attractive? You know, who are in fact the attractive people in society? And so, you know, to me, Austen, coming from a, you know, 19th century perspective, often has some really good morality tales. And because they're so well produced, they actually make good watching, but at the same time, they raise questions, which we, you know, in our ephemeral society, we just don't talk about enough.
Okay, Jane Austen Foreplay and Packed to the Rafters, they're worth maybe having a bit of a watch. Secret Diary of a Call Girl, Swing Town, and and family break camp, we shall leave.
But I've got one last one.
Have you?
Maybe I'll throw it in the end.
I thought you only had two.
Well, I've got a third one, but I don't want to tell you anything about it. Underbelly is obviously on the screens
yes,
now.
Yes, we're talking a lot about that in the media
and
alone.
You'll have to wait 2 weeks, and then I'll tell you all about it.
Oh. That's what we call in the media a tease, folks, and he's just given it to us. Mark, thanks.
Pleasure, mate.
Mark Adley from Anglican Media. We will have a little bit more of his picks and his duds for the year on the openhouse.net.au, and check him out as well at christianity.net.au.